Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. We'll do announcements and offerings after the service, but let's go after the teaching of the word. Let's go straight into the word. Matthew 28 from verse 16. Matthew 28 verse 16. Many of you would know this portion of scriptures, and I want us to just dive into it this morning. This was after Jesus had died and he rose back to life. He told them, I will meet up with you. I will rise up, go into a certain location. All right. The Bible says in verse 16, and the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. But when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Therefore, go and teach all nations. Other versions say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen. Behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Father, I thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray, Father God, that you'd speak to each and every one of us today. I come against every wandering mind, wandering spirit. I pray that our hearts will be open to receive what you have prepared for us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Awesome. Let's get into the word this morning. If you're watching online, welcome to you. If you don't know, we have a Facebook page. So we are also a church online, God Church Pretoria East. And I want to encourage you to visit our Facebook page from time to time. Share the content that is on that page, because I believe it's really powerful, powerful stuff. Amen. Now, for the past 6 weeks, we were dealing with the subject matter of the breakthrough mindset. And I'm sure a lot of you were blessed, you were challenged, and I want to encourage you to keep on gleaning into that series, because it is a series that will change your life. It changes the trajectory of your life. Now, today I'm excited to be introducing to us our brand new series. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to be speaking to us in the coming 6 weeks on a series titled Commissioned. Commissioned. Amen. I want you to shout out to me, repeat after me and say, commissioned. Let's say it again, commissioned. Praise the Lord. Now, when you look at the word commission, to be commissioned means to be formally chosen to do a special piece of work. In South Africa, we don't need to define what a commission is, because we know we live under commissions. The recent one is the Zondo Commission that has been running for, 3 years? I don't know, 3 years, thereabout. And we volumes and volumes of reports are coming out. So the current Chief Justice Zondo was commissioned to do an investigation on the state of capture. Okay? He was given an opportunity to do a special work looking into corruption, looking at what was going on during other people's terms. Now, if there's one thing that the enemy has perfected amongst believers, it is to make us minimize the Great Commission. What the enemy has been doing since Matthew 28 is to make believers to think it's not that important. To think that the Great Commission is not for me, it's for certain people. And I want you to realize this morning that now, more than ever, you and I need to revisit the Great Commission. Can somebody say amen to that? You and I need to get back to the very reason why Christ was disrobed of his heavenly glory and came down to earth. You and I need to come back to a place of saying, who am I and why am I here today? Because if we don't go back to that, the church will experience a slow death. Even so, after COVID, the church was much affected by COVID as much as businesses were affected. We went online. We never used to be comfortable not to be found in the house of God. Back in the days, it was unheard of for people to stay back at home and listen to messages. But COVID came, what was abnormal became normal. Now, after COVID, there is no more reason why we should not be gathering together as believers. And whether we agree or not, a lot of believers left the faith during COVID. One, because they were no longer meeting as brothers. Two, because life became even harder. A lot of faith was shaken and people experienced shipwreck in their faith. And let me say to you, a lot of churches shut down. We had our leaders meeting yesterday and I was saying to them, we need to celebrate the fact that we are able to still gather as a church. Because many churches shut their doors. Many pastors hung their Bibles and said, you know what? I'm going back into the corporate. This thing does not work. And that is why this morning we need to look at this thing called the Great Commission. And for the coming 6 weeks, and I know very well the enemy will tell you, you know what, that these teachings are not very exciting, but that's the reason why church is church. Does somebody hear me this morning? Our churches have lost the drive and the passion for the very thing that distinguishes us from any other organization. The government cannot help people to enter into heaven. Golf clubs do not help people to enter heaven. For shiny club does not help you to enter heaven. It can help you to look good to come to church, but it cannot help nobody to enter heaven. But that is what the enemy has come and poured water on. And that's not very exciting. You see, A.B. Simpson says, the Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen in the world. The Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen world. I was watching on Facebook, Pastor At Bershoff in the Eastern Cape doing a crusade. And thousands of people came to the Lord. I marveled. My heart was moved. I said, this man is still faithful to what God called him. Regardless of what COVID has done, he's saying we're going to gather people in the stadium and we're going to preach the gospel. And my question is, us as a church, our name is Go, how much going have we been doing? There are still people out there who are igniting this fire of revival. You know, people are talking about after this COVID, there's going to be revival. Do you know revival starts with one man? Starts with the individual. Starts with the one church that says, God, here we are. Use us. Oswald J. Smith says, any church that is not seriously involved in helping to fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. I'm going to repeat that. Oswald J. Smith, this is an author and a missionary advocate. He said, any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Another one said, a church that does not reach the lost has lost itself. Okay? Jesus told his disciples, go into the nations and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus did not say, go and build beautiful auditoriums. No. That's an offshoot of the main reason why church exists. He says, go into the nations and make disciples of all nations. Before then, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. I want you to know that you and I have all we need to reach the next person. You have all you need to reach your friend that you really like a lot. And can I say this to us this morning? If that friend dies without Jesus, they will not have peace in life after. And I think that as Christians, we need to be reminded of the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. You see, we need to understand that heaven is not meant for good people. Heaven is meant for believers. We have a lot of good non-believers who are destined for hell. It doesn't matter how nice this guy is. If this guy does not know Jesus, I'm sorry to say, if they die, they are not dying in peace. Therefore, we cannot write, yes, we can write on their tombstone, rest in peace, but they are not resting in peace. The church needs to get back to that place of carrying the burden of the Lord. Now, as a reminder to this issue of the Great Commission, the Lord laid upon my heart to take you through a series based on the life story of Jonah. Do we know that there's a book in the Bible called Jonah? Okay, so we're going to teach from the life of Jonah. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, and the word of Jehovah came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their evil has come up before me. Therefore, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. That city was great. It was awesome. Everything was going well for the city of Nineveh. And in their hearts, they did not need any help from outside. And the Lord said, a great cry has come up, for their evil has come up before me. Talking about the wickedness of man. I was watching somebody's clip of a man in deep sleep who was burnt alive. I watched this thing for 30 seconds and I got sick. What they did to this man, this Nyati guy, they went to his house and they started asking for documents. And one did not have, but he knew that he did not have documents to be in South Africa. I'm just talking about their evil has come up before me. And this guy, because he did not have documents, he ran out of his house. And these guys followed after him. And they said to him, why were you running away from us? Were you having a gun? Why are you running away from us? They started beating this guy. They dosed petrol. They put petrol on him. And they started beating this guy. And they ignited him. Here was a mob of, I don't know, maybe 20 people. And there was one guy with a knob carry beating this man. Another three had petrol pouring on him. Another one had a matchstick and they put him alight. This man burnt to death. Whatever reason there was, that is wickedness. That is evil. And I said to myself, where is the church in that environment? Where are the pastors in that environment? Could the church not have risen up and say, we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to repent of this wickedness. We saw the same thing in 2008. Where people had ties put around them and they were burnt alive. And here God is saying to Jonah, the wickedness of this city has come up before me. Can I say this morning that the Lord in heaven is saying, the wickedness of this land has come up before me. Therefore, go. Michael, go to that land and speak to the land. Speak to the people. It's very important that we have this image in our minds as we go through this teaching of being commissioned. You see, wickedness increases when good men do nothing. Shall I say this differently? Wickedness will increase when believers do nothing. Because this thing goes beyond being good. It's about a changed and transformed heart that says, my heart goes out to this community. My heart goes out to this family. I'm going to reach out and touch and show them the love of God. Does somebody hear me this morning? The Lord came to Jonah and said, wickedness has come up before me. Please go. Jonah, please go before I do something to this community. In other words, safety and danger was in the hands of Jonah. What Jonah was going to do about Nineveh was going to determine the outcome of that community. And shall I say this morning, the outcome of where you stay and where you work is in your hands. Now the Bible says the word of Jehovah came to Jonah. And nothing much was said about who this Jonah was coming from, his credentials. It was God who had a great concern for the city of Nineveh. And God proceeded to look for Jonah. And this morning I want us to understand that God has a great concern for this community of Pretoria East. God has a great concern of the community centurion. Wherever you are, wherever you are located, wherever you work, the heart of God goes out to that community. Now, what does this mean? Number one, the commission is God's idea. The Great Commission is not my idea. It's not your idea. It is God's idea. Why? Because it was the word of God, the word of Jehovah, that came out of God and went to Jonah. Maybe Jonah knew about the wickedness of Nineveh. Maybe I know of the wickedness in my work environment. But until God comes and impresses something on my heart, I will not move. We complain about a lot of things, but very few of us move. Why? Because these issues of the Spirit are initiated by God. And this morning, I'm speaking to the soul of God Church. Do we hear what God is saying? Now, I've come to realize that man always finds a way of confusing the things of God with the things of man. The Great Commission was God's agenda, was God's idea. But from time to time, we think it is a man's idea. The reason why the pastor is talking about reaching souls, it is because he wants to see a big church. It is because he wants more tithes to come into the offering. It is because he wants to, he's earmarking the new Bentley or the new Mercedes Benz. Now we are confusing God's idea with a man's idea. Yes, there are people out there who do this thing to line their own pockets. But by and large, a lot of good men of God are out there because there is a passion for the things of God. And this morning as I'm speaking to you, I'm not saying this so that I line my pocket. I'm saying, you know what? God is counting on us. Heaven is waiting on us. Glory be to God. If we don't do anything about it, we shall give an account. One day the Lord will ask me, what did you do with what I gave you? Now, if you want to get a proper understanding of an idea, you must consult the originator of the idea. If you want to understand the whole issue of souls, you've got to go talk to the Lord. When you look at when Jesus sent out the 72, before he sent them out, he said to them, the harvest is plenteous. The fruit is massive, but the fruit pickers are a few. The laborers are a few. He then said to them, pray to the Lord of the harvest so that he can send many into the harvest field. In other words, when it comes to the Great Commission, it starts on our knees. When a church prays long enough for a community, that church will not help itself but to step out and say, I'm going to speak to the community about Jesus. You see, somebody says, before you talk to somebody about Jesus, talk to Jesus about that person. I don't know if you get that. Before you talk to me about Jesus, talk to Jesus about me. Because then Jesus will tell you how to get to me. Put this down. God is the initiator of this great work. In other words, no man out of his own initiative can start the work unless prompted by the Holy Spirit. No man can do it by themselves. Unless something rises up in you through the work of the Holy Spirit. That is when you see people saying, you know what? I'm quitting my job. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to go into Mozambique and preach the gospel. The missionaries that came and stayed in conditions that are dire. What made them do that? Today we do have missionaries who are going out and preaching the gospel. Why do they risk their lives to go to Iraq to preach the gospel? It is because the Father of Heaven does something in their hearts. And they look at themselves and say, my life is not worth living this. I'm going to go out there. When Moses understood, he said, I'm not going to just be here in the palace with Pharaoh. I'm going out to my kindred. I'm going out to my brothers. He had a heart for the Jewish people. You see, I want you to understand this morning that the Word of God is what will trigger us to see the world through the eyes of God. When you carry the Word of God in your heart, when you read the passion of the Christ, I mean, this is the season. We're talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus in this coming week. We need to ask ourselves, what got Jesus to that point? When, you know, John 3:16, we know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. Do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? 1 John 3:16, it talks about if Jesus died for us, is it too much for us to lay down our lives for our brothers? So John 3:16 talks about the love of God. 1 John chapter 3:16 talks about you and I doing exactly what Jesus did for us when we lay down our lives for our brothers. You see, the Word of God is the real thing. It is what changes life. The Word of God is active. The Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. So that when you speak the Word will be active. The Word will change lives. You see, the less you have of the Word in you, the less you'll be inspired to run with the commission. When you understand what will happen at the end time, when you understand that hell is for real, you will look at your mother who is not born again and you will share the gospel with her. You will look at your brother who is not saved and you share the gospel with him. You would look at your uncle who is not saved and you share the gospel with him. And my question this morning, you and I, when last did we get somebody across the bloodline? Maybe that's a bit deep. When last did we have a spiritual conversation with somebody who doesn't know Jesus? Henry Martini said, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary will become. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. So the closer you get to him, the more you appreciate his passion. The more you appreciate what got him down from heaven. The more you appreciate when he said to the Father, get me a body and I will go down. Give me a body and I'll go down. I'll be amongst my brothers. I will be one of them. They will be called by my name. When God commissions you, He will give you a specific word. He will give you a specific place for you to minister. So that is the first thing we need to understand, that this issue of the Great Commission, it's not our idea as men. It's God's idea. And when a church is called the church of God, we've got to submit to the commands of God. The Lord Jesus would speak in the book of John. He says, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. And when you follow my commandments, my Father will love you. And I and my Father will come and create an abode among you. When a church wants the presence of Jesus, it obeys what Jesus says, and that attracts Jesus to the church. Does somebody hear me this morning? I want you to realize that a lot of the fights we have in our churches, a lot of the squabbles we have in our churches, it is because we are idle. It is because we are not about the business of our Father. The discouragement that hits the people of God comes when we are not about our Father's business. You know, somebody says, if a pastor wants to remain excited about being a pastor, he needs to reach out to souls more and more, because that is where the joy comes from. If you are feeling stale in your walk with the Lord, if you are feeling discouraged in your walk with the Lord, you need to go into the streets. And you find that the joy of the Lord is restored once again. The joy of being called a child of God comes back again. It becomes, you know, the whole issue of coming to church Sunday in, Sunday out, and there is no movement in the kingdom of God can become very monotonous and boring. I want to be honest with you. But when you know that I'm going to church and I'm discipling somebody, I'm helping somebody to see the light, I'm helping somebody, I'm teaching somebody to pray, it makes you excited about being a child of God. It becomes an adventure. And I'm going to say to us this morning as a church, let's go on an adventure. Let's go on a crusade. Let's go on a journey and say, Lord, use me. Whatever you can do through me, please, Lord, do it. Number two, every Bible believer is commissioned. Every believer is commissioned. I don't know about you, but I grew up in environments where there were certain quarters in our communities that just believed, you know, preaching is for preachers, evangelism is for evangelists. For us, we're just there to support on the backgrounds. Some people never took the ownership of the Great Commission. We always pushed it to the fivefold ministers. We pushed it to the people who were called in the fivefold ministry. But the Lord says, go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. And we need to break that myth today as a church. The Bible says in Jonah 1 verse 1, and the word of Jehovah came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word of Jehovah came to an individual. It came to a guy by the name of Jonah. And I want you to realize this morning that just like Jonah, when it comes to the Great Commission, every true believer is commissioned. We need to break this spirit that says witnessing, soul winning, is for certain people. It is for special people, not for me. God called you with a message, and that message is for salvation of those who are still in sin. Put this down. The Great Commission has your name on it, and you matter to the cause of the commission. The Great Commission, I mean, your name, see, I want you to, your name, if your name is Spusiso, you've been enlisted to reach somebody with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. Kambe, when we talk about good news, is it a wrong thing to share the good news? You know what? When I go onto Facebook, when people have got something that they like, they will sound it out. They will advertise it. They will tag people. They will share it. They will talk about, if there's an event that they like, they will talk about it. But when it comes to this good news of the gospel, very few of us really think it's good news. Please prove me wrong. Because if we think that it is really good news, we should be sounding it on our Facebook profiles. We will sound conferences. We will take friends to attend seminars, but will not take friends to come to church. And I say to myself, if we could be so excited about church, the same way we're excited about graduations, the same way we're excited about birthdays. I mean, on my birthday, I had tons of messages wishing me well, and thank you for that. But how about sounding the salvation? How about sounding the goodness of God? How about reminding people that the coming of the Lord is imminent? He is about to come. He is right there at the doorstep. Where we are coming from is further out, but where we're going is so near. Maybe we should start by sounding about our churches. Reminding people that church is open, guys. We need to go back. Let's start there. If we can start somewhere, let's start there by reminding people that I belong to a church and this is where I go. Please come, join me on Sunday. We don't do that. And I'm asking myself, is it because maybe, okay, let me talk about me. Is it because I like the teachings, but I don't like where the church is located? Come on, huh? Or I like this person in the church, but everything else I don't like. And because of that, I cannot invite my friend. But come on now, if you've been coming to this church for the past 4 years, you like something about this church. If you like something about this church, how about sounding it? Then invite people, then we can do the job to preach to them. Come on now. Does somebody hear me this morning? Because we do these things when we like something, when we like a school, we share the school, we share the events of the school, but we don't share the church. We don't share the church of Jesus Christ. So the commission has your name on it. And I want you to realize that the commission requires my attention and your attention. You see, something happens when your name is called out in the crowd. And this is what Jesus is saying. He is calling you amongst the multitudes of people. He's calling your name and saying, I have called you. Follow me. Can I trust you? Can I work with you on what God sent me down to do? He's calling my name. You see, many people hear the voice of God regarding many other things except the Great Commission. You know, people will tell you, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord told me that I'm going to get married to this person. All right? The Lord told me that you're going to get a business deal. The Lord told me you're going to get a job. The Lord told me that my child will do well in matric. The Lord told me that I'm getting a promotion at work. Wow, praise the Lord. The Lord is speaking. But the Lord hasn't told you to reach your friend for Jesus. The question is it the Lord speaking? Or it's your own mind? Come on now. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm saying if the Lord has been telling you about your promotion, and the Lord has not told you about the guy you share your office with regarding his salvation, maybe we need to check that voice. Or the Lord has told you, but you are too busy to do something about it. The neighbor that stays with you down the road, what has the Lord been saying to you about him? The friend you share that fountain in the corridors, what has the Lord said to you about him? And I'm sure the same God who's been telling you about promotion has been saying something about your neighbor. But we have selective hearing. William Booth, you know William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army? He says, I don't agree with everything of their teachings, but there's something that they got right. He says, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. William Booth. He You see, the Salvation Army was very strong in humanitarian work. They help a lot with the needy. And here's what William Booth was saying, and I'm sure this is what drove him to what he to do what he did. William Booth came out of the Methodist Church and says, I'm going to start this thing here. And this was his heartbeat, saying, you've got to put your ear to the Bible and hear the message and being sent forth. And I want to say as a church, let's go back to the basics. And God has called you. You are a child of God. You are born again for a reason and for a purpose. Look at this, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. And it happened, the word of Jehovah came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. So saints, before you were conceived, whilst you were still a prayer idea in your mother and father's minds, the heaven says, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I consecrated you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Verse 10. Behold, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Saints, we are on a mission. You know, one of the statements of CRSC is saving souls at all costs. Saving souls at all costs. Whatever it costs, we're going to go out and save souls. And you see the fruit. And I'm saying to us this morning as a church, what's our attitude around souls? On Saturday the 16th, we're going to do a prayer walk. And I'm going to observe and see who's going to come for the prayer walk. Remember we said before you talk to somebody about Jesus, you need to talk to Jesus about them. And I'm saying as a church, when we come on Saturday 2 p.m., we're going to walk around this neighborhood and praying that their eyes will be opened and praying for their deliverance and praying for salvation, praying for peace in their homes, praying that their hearts are warmed up to the things of God. Glory be to God. Because one of the things that the enemy has done is to create a religious spirit where somebody feels, I've been around church ever since I was born and therefore I'm okay. No. Unless that somebody came to a place of saying, Jesus, come into my life, make me a child of God, they are not okay. But the religious spirit will make me feel okay when I'm not okay with God. And those are the things we need to confront in the spirit. Last week we spoke about the children of Israel surrounding the city of Jericho. 6 days they went about once a day, and then on the seventh day they went seven times. What were they doing? Possessing that city, declaring things over the city. And when all was said and done, they took over the city. And I want you to know that before the community can open up to the gospel, we need to go into the community and saturate it with prayer. When we do that, strongholds are broken. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, the God of this world has blinded them that they might not see the light. Therefore, we need to start in prayer. Number 3, the commission is urgent. One of the reasons why we don't evangelize is because we think there's time. But COVID taught us something different. The very strong will die in your face. The rich will die in your face. It doesn't matter how rich you are, COVID touched all of us. Whenever I call people, one of the things we check, they're still alive. We cannot take it for granted that people are still alive out there. You then get surprised. I went home and I was surprised when my mom was telling me, that one is gone, that one is gone, that one is gone, that one is gone. I'm like, wow, then who is left? That is why the commission is an urgent matter. We cannot put it aside for long. There are some who will die without knowing Jesus, and the reason there would be us. It will be because we did not reach out to them with Jesus. Now, in verse 2, in Jonah chapter 1, The word says, arise, go. Arise, go. Do we have a sense of urgency in our hearts regarding the unsaved? He was commanded to rise up. He was commanded not to waste time. Jonah, arise and go, for the time has come. You see, when you get a phone call that your loved one has been involved in an accident and they need you, you do not consult with your dog whether you should go or not. You don't consult with your neighbor. Neighbor, do you think I should go? My uncle has just been in an accident. No, you get into your car and you go. That's the sense of urgency we need to have, because it's a matter of life and death. And I want your heart to be stirred up this morning as I share. And this is the heartbeat of God. If we are to see this church becoming something different from what we have seen in these past 5 years, we've got to get our hearts to the heartbeat of God. You and I got to be tired of seeing the same faces here. Come on, huh? We've got to be able to see new faces coming into the kingdom and say, glory be to God. Today it's not just Mercy who is in church. Mercy brought another lady to church. It's not just Tabo. Tabo brought another guy to church. Hallelujah. And that creates excitement. You see, heaven is waiting for that one, the only one to say yes to Jesus. The Lord Jesus was telling his disciples, and he was saying, there is partying in heaven when one soul comes to Jesus. There is a party in heaven when one sinner comes to the Lord. If we are to experience the joy of the Lord in here, if we are to experience angelic activities in here, let's get souls into the kingdom. Glory be to God. It's an urgent matter. Put this down. Whenever you delay your response, your doubt is strengthened and the task appears to be more difficult to achieve. Now, let me go into your space. That one moment when the Lord prompted you to share the gospel, you only had a split of a second or 5 seconds to do it or never to do it. And I've realized with myself that whenever I get a prompting of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, to share a spiritual conversation, it's either I do it and it happens, or I don't, it never happens. Why? Because when you procrastinate, when you delay your response to the Great Commission, it makes it more difficult to actually do it. But you know what we do? We rationalize. We say, it's not quite comfortable. I don't know what will be his reaction. Well, his response is none of my business. What I should do is to be the mouthpiece and to see what Jehovah will do. Glory be to God. It is for me to obey. It is for God to save. Many of us are discouraged because we have shared and nobody has come to the kingdom of God. That's okay. It's like praying for the sick. You know, sometimes you're like, am I going to pray for this guy? What if he gets even worse? Okay? But you know what? It's for us to lay hands upon the sick, and it is for Jesus to heal. The same thing applies to salvation. It is for us to speak, and it is for Jesus and the Holy Spirit to save. Curtis F. H. Henry says, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. And that is so true. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. Why? Because in Matthew 28, he gave a command. And he says, go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, does that mean a lot of our churches are walking in disobedience? Because there is a command that Jesus gave, and this is what he left the church to do. And how are we faring in that regard? Please get me right. Do not waste time when it comes to this Great Commission. Because when you went for that family gathering, it might have been the last time you saw your uncle. We are dealing with a loss in our family right now. One of our cousins in the UK, the father died about 3-4 days ago. But his son went to see him from Canada a week or so ago, and he saw that his dad was not doing well. He knew that his dad was not born again. What he did, he looked for a pastor and said, please go and visit my dad and lead him to Christ. The dad was led to Christ, and a week or so afterwards, he went to be with the Lord. That man is in glory right now. That's why the Bible says, the last shall be the first. The first shall be the last. That man might have lived, I don't know how he lived, but the fact is, before his final moments, he gave his life to the Lord. I remember I went to our rural areas. My grandma, my dad's mom, was known for doing all sorts of things, witchcraft, and nobody liked her. But I went to see her because I'm a child of God. I walk in power. I'm not afraid of witches, right? That's what they said about it, but whatever the case might be. But I went to see my granny, and that was in 2015. I went to see my granny. She was on a deathbed. She could not help herself. She could not go to the loo. She was on a deathbed. And I said, Grandma, do you believe in Jesus? And she says, Mtolo, I believe in Jesus. But I knew things were not quite well. I said, do you mind if I pray with you a prayer of receiving the Lord Jesus? My grandma, my wife was there, my mom was there, my daughter was there. I led her to Christ. And in 2016, she left. No matter how she lived, if she made that prayer, believing in her heart, she is in glory right now. And many people will be surprised when they see her in glory. And they're like, huh? Is this heaven? Am I in the wrong place? No, you are in heaven. She made it. The first shall be the last. The last shall be the first. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the power of the gospel. It changes our lives. It doesn't matter how wicked somebody might be in your eyes. There is no wickedness that is too strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Number four. And let's try and finish off this. The commission has a destination. It's so important for us to understand this. The commission has a destination. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 or verse 2. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. What is your Nineveh? What is my Nineveh? Guess what? Your Nineveh is not my Nineveh. No. Your upbringing, your job, your business, your environment is different from mine. What that means is that there are people that you alone has an influence over that I will never have an influence over. I want you to realize this morning that wherever God has planted you, you are the planting of the Lord. And he's saying to you, I have sent you. The gospel has been commissioned into that environment because you're there. But the church has not thought it that way. Now, Jonah was not left wondering, where am I going to go? I know you're calling me to go say something, but where? Nineveh is the place. And hey, it's a great city. And can I say to you, Pretoria East is a great place. Very affluent. They have it together. We have it together here. What else do we need? And that is the thinking. You come into a place like Nineveh, and you say, am I able to reach Nineveh for Jesus? Am I able to reach Centurion for Jesus? Am I able to reach Pretoria East for Jesus? They have it together. And yet, you can have it together on the outside. If your soul has not been saved, you don't have it together. And many times the enemy has made us to feel so small because in the natural, I might not have it. But I have life in me. Glory be to God. You have life in you. Hallelujah. And the person that is next to you, who might look like they have it together, they are asking themselves, I need help. Where can I find help? There's no peace in my house. I have a double story, but I don't enjoy the double story house. There is chaos in that house. I have a one-bedroom place, but there is peace in that place because I have Jesus. Look, Jesus wants you to do well. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying today, the spiritual riches that really matter is your salvation. And when we have a renewed mind, when we walk out there on Saturday, we'll have different view. We'll have a different perception about this community. You'll be able to cry out and say, Lord, have mercy on this community. Have mercy on young people in this place. Lord, set them free from drug abuse. Lord, save marriages in this community, because there is divorce left, right, center. Despite the amount of money that's floating around. So the commission always has to do with people and not with things. Very, very important. The Great Commission always has to do with the soul of a person, not what the person has. And I understand, not only me, but even Jesus. Because one rich man came to Jesus and said, Lord, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord Jesus said, what does the law say? And he says, I have done everything in the law. And the Lord Jesus says, yes, I hear you, but you lack one thing. Go and sell all your possessions and come follow me. The Bible says the man dropped his head, felt very sad, and he left. And then the Lord Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the needle of an eye than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on and says, nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Nothing is impossible with God. Put this down. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on earth. I am responsible for the souls of the people around me. My prayer this morning, as I share this gospel or this word, is for your heart to be stirred up. Because of time, I'm going to just run quickly the last point. The commission is about life and death. It's not about having fun. It's not about having a big name. Or it is about life and death. The Lord, the word here came to Jonah, verse 2, says, for their evil has come up against me, or before me. For their evil has come up before me. In other words, the Lord was saying to Jonah, there is judgment that has been set against the city. Please go and speak to them, and I'll have mercy on them. And there is a dying world around us. Let's make it more personal wherever we are located. Let's make it more personal. It's about you. Like they say, you know, these days, you know, this COVID. Well, it's up to you whether we go to level 3 or level 2. It's up to you. Your behavior will determine whether we go back to level 3 or we go down to level 2. And this morning, let's take it personal and say, it's up to me to ensure that the kingdom of God is populated and the kingdom of hell is depopulated. Glory be to God. Humanity has been on a collision course with God since the days of Adam. But the Lord made a way through Jesus. He made a way. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, you can come up and play, whether yourself or Chenzi. But as I land this plane, I want you to really think about how you've been doing around this. I fully understand that it's not those exciting and moving messages, but this is the pillar. This is the foundation of the church. In Matthew 16, the Lord was speaking to Peter, and he said to him, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon the rock, which rock? The revelation of Jesus. When you and I have a revelation of Jesus and the passion of Jesus, He will come and build upon that. When as a church, we are too much into ourselves, we are too much into comfort, like, no, don't disturb me. The Lord will not come and partner with that church. But when a church cries out for its community, when a church is burdened by its community, that church invites Jesus. Jesus is attracted. You know what? We don't need more than the number we have here to see a revival in this church. We have enough people here. You are enough to trigger a revival here. For somebody to come back after 6 months and say, it's a different place. I came and there were only 22 people. But now there are 100 people. What happened? That is what revival is. Revival is not just about feeling goosebumps. It's not about money. It's about souls coming into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And us as a church need to be stubborn about that vision. To say, Lord, count me in. With our eyes closed, I'm going to make a request. That if you are saying in your heart, Lord, count me in, I want you to stand up on your feet today. If you are saying in your heart, Lord, count me in on this journey of reaching the next, I want you to stand up.